All right, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection show here. Jeremy Moss hanging out with Chris Hondris and Matt Kennerly.
God, it's been so long since we've done a podcast.
It has. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. Find our podcast at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, our website, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, all that stuff. This is bowl preview number 3 as we discuss the Let me think of this official sponsors here. It's the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
And then it's SDCCU for short.
Yeah. And is it just the Hawaii Bowl, or is there some corporate behemoth on top of that?
Hawaii Bowl.
Sheraton?
Yes, it is.
We should contact them to get you out there, Matt. I guess we missed that boat.
That'd be nice.
Of course it would, yes. But we are discussing... we're discussing those two bowl games. If you're listening to this now, there may or may not be a new coach at Colorado State, because I believe this show will be posted sometime on Monday, because the Poinsettia Bowl is Tuesday, December 23rd, right? Am I correct on that?
Yeah, the 23rd. And the Hawaii Bowl, because, you know, we don't do podcasts on Christmas Eve.
True. We're not going to, but we will... Yeah, those are two games, and those are the days. So we'll have this on Monday sometime. Preview on both games.
Preview of two games, and let's go ahead and get right to it, right? Yeah. not even 2 minutes, and he drops off.
You know, we'll waste no time.
It's going to be a good cast. So, the first game, the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl. Starts 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Navy, San Diego's team, right? Versus San Diego State, San Diego's team.
Are either of them really San Diego State's or San Diego's team, though?
What, who's the third team that we consider San Diego's team?
And I'm just saying, like, nobody ever shows up to the games.
Oh, ouch.
That's fire.
No, that's just because they blame Qualcomm and they don't have their own stadium. You know, because if they had their own 20,000-seat stadium, I'm sure they'd show up. Look at me. Sold every single night.
Anyway. It's essentially a home game for the Aztecs, and it's worth noting that they have... won 8 straight games at that gigantic stadium of theirs.
Here's the thing, though. You call it a virtually home game for SDSU, and while it is, I'm telling you, San Diego is a huge Navy town. I think there's going to be plenty of Navy fans at this game.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, because both, you know, the Navy obviously has a huge presence in San Diego, but, I mean... the midshipmen have never beaten the Aztecs either. I think they have a 3-0 series lead, if I'm not mistaken. And the last game they played, I think, was also in this game a few years ago, if I'm correct.
When they lost to BYU,
it was 30-15 the last time they played, and they played it in this bowl game, and they won pretty handily.
That's right. Yeah, 4 years ago. That was without current quarterback and record breaker, though, Keenan Reynolds.
That is also true.
So, this game should be pretty interesting, just because, and San Diego State in 2010 also had Ronnie Hillman and Vincent Brown.
Well, yeah, Donald Pumphrey now. That's a pretty big edge.
Really? Pumphrey versus Keenan Reynolds?
Yeah, why not? That's a good... There's people clamoring for Pumphrey to be an All-American.
Yeah, those people happen to be San Diego State fans. Nobody outside of San Diego State was trying to say, oh, Donald Pumphrey, he got snubbed at All-American. He got snubbed at All-Conference. No.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he averaged almost 7 yards carry, and he's actually had a better season than Keenan Reynolds this year. You know, Reynolds, I think, had like 1,200 yards, and Pumphrey was up above 1,700.
Well, and also Reynolds didn't have 30 touchdowns like he had last year.
Yeah that's well, I mean, Pumphrey's averaging 6.9 yards per carry. Keenan Reynolds is not the main running back for Navy, and he's the quarterback. But Navy's main running back, though, who has half the carries, is Keenan Reynolds in this offense. Still 117 carries for 889 yards. That's a 7.6 average. That is comparable with Donnell Pumphrey. And here's the thing. What we're going to look at for this game is neither one of these teams can stop the run.
Are you sure? Because San Diego State only allowed 3.7 yards per carry this year, which was actually second best in the conference.
Ooh.
he's really trying to. He's trying to play devil's advocate here, or he's really just trying to make a case that San Diego State is just going to dominate this game no matter what.
Well, okay. Well, here's the argument that I'll make for San Diego State. Yeah, because obviously the best run defense in the conference this year was Utah State. And, you know, we saw what they did against UTEP in their bowl game. They actually played really well. But, you know, even though they didn't face nearly as many rushing attempts as the Aggies did, the Aztecs were second best. And, you know, if you want to look at how they did against the Air Force, which was actually a month ago today, you know, they held the Falcons to just 3.4 yards per carry and 140 yards.
And add on that, New Mexico, they only gave up 152 yards.
Hey, let's talk about somebody that they didn't beat handily either. So, you know, they lost to Nevada. Okay, so let's take a look at that game real quick. So, they gave up. Let's see here. I'm looking here.
Well, they gave up 229 on the ground to.
They gave up 229 on the ground to Nevada, which Nevada, as much as they're a rushing team, that's still way above their average. They're a little bit more balanced than 229 a game. Okay, and that was another Cody Fajardo off night on the throwing ground. He was 10 of 24 for 109. Let's also look at the Boise State game, which was a couple weeks later.
Loss. You'll see a trend there.
You'll see a trend. So, well, hey, you guys were picking the games where they won against rushing teams.
No, I
that's countering.
Oh, no, that's definitely a good point. I was looking at those, too, but I was going against the teams that New Mexico is they lost to Air Force too, but oh no, they beat Air Force. But New Mexico is a team where they can get 300 yards in their sleep for the most part.
Yeah, and Boise State picked up 200 yards on the ground in that game as well. So I mean, I think to credit Matt, yes, I think San Diego State does have one of the. I was mistaken at BG earlier that San Diego State has one of the worst defenses. I think they're probably one of the better defenses in the Mountain West rushing. But there's two sides to that story. There's the side who can shut down Air Force and New Mexico triple option and run option teams that they fully prepared for. And then on the same and then on the same time just completely get crushed by teams who are a little bit more balanced, but I'd say 60-40 run to pass.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, though. Navy's not a balanced offense. They're exactly like New Mexico and exactly like Air Force in that they are a run-first offense.
So basically what you're telling me here is that Navy is going to get blown out by San Diego. No chance.
I'm not saying that there's no chance, but I'm saying that, you know, based on recent history, at least, they've shown a capacity to stop that triple-option offense.
And they faced it before, too. It's not like it's a team that's never faced it before, which is a big advantage Navy has when they play certain teams.
Exactly.
Yeah, typically, yes, you're correct.
And so it looks like they could win, but here's the thing, too, about Aztecs. They're so inconsistent. Their quarterback play hasn't been great all year with Quinn Kaler, or if it's a Bodwin back there, or Nick Bodwin, whoever it is. They're not very good at quarterback. Their strength really is running the ball Pumphrey and kind of switching the other side, but they're going to have to score some points because Navy, even though we've seen what they did versus New Mexico and Air Force and all that, I still think San Diego State still needs to put up probably at least 21 points.
You think they can?
That's a question. Can they? Maybe. I wouldn't guarantee anything for the San Diego State game or the San Diego State team.
Yeah, well, this year when they've scored at least 20 points, they're 7-2, which is, you know, a pretty good sign. So if that's the magic number, then I think, I mean, if I had to put my money on it, I'd say they would be able to do just enough to, you know, not necessarily get explosive plays against Navy to kind of tilt the field in their favor.
Well, the thing is, he'll Ruffin health. He should be fully healthy now. Him and maybe Eric Judge do a few things, but they need. It can't just be all Pumphrey because Navy's coach Ken. I won't say his last name, but Coach Ken there knows what he's doing. He's a pretty good coach.
Neil Matalolo.
You can't pronounce Ken Neumatalolo.
Can you? Barely.
Barely.
I'll go with Coach Ken. Well, I mean, he's been there for a while. He's a pretty respected coach, knows what he's doing. And Aztecs might be able to just run Pumphrey all day, which they probably will do, but they have to have some sort of passing attack because Navy, they almost beat Notre Dame. They gave Ohio State some trouble. They're pretty good. They're above average football team. They're probably right there. Like, these two teams are pretty identical. They're both 7-5, but Navy's had some pretty good competition where they've come close to getting some big wins where every big team San Diego State has played, they fell fallen flat. The second half was Boise State. When they lost to Fresno State, a team they probably should have beaten there. They lose to Nevada. It's like the teams where they should have won the West Division. They're up 20-point lead over Boise State and can't put them away. Coaching adjustments will probably be the difference, maybe, and that's why I don't trust San Diego State all that much, but I, like you said, they're 7-2 and they score more than 20 points. Any point?
And they just need to drop that again. Here's another point, though, that I'll make in San Diego State's favor. Because, the more that I'm looking at these numbers, the more I'm really liking the matchup for them. Guess where Navy ranks as far as SAC in the FBS ranks?
Oh, they're pretty damn low. I know that.
They are 124th, which is next to last.
Yeah.
Guess where they rank in terms of tackles for loss?
They are dead last. I am pretty sure.
Dead last. And I mean, you know, San Diego State's not a hugely explosive team. They were kind of, I think, middle of the pack as far as, you know, explosive plays. But all it takes is one. You know, if they could get ahead by 10 points, you know, that defense is good enough to make a stop and kind of keep Navy at arm's length. I'm not expecting the Aztecs to run away with the game, but if they can get an early lead, I fully expect them to be able to hold on to it.
So this is going to be another thing that it should swing to San Diego State's favor is Keenan Reynolds is considered probable. He's had an ankle injury bugging him.
He's going to play. He's going to play.
That he suffered in the Army game. Mm-hmm. Absolutely he's going to play. But you hit him once and he goes down, there goes Navy's offense, essentially. I'm going to give you three keys to the game. Because I honestly don't think Navy was going to win this at all. I'm just trying to play a little bit of devil's advocate. So I'm giving you three keys, and you're going to say whether you agree or disagree with it.
Okay.
Keenan Reynolds, for Navy to win, has to throw for 150 yards.
No, you know what? I wouldn't agree with that.
Okay.
If only because...
You could give your reasons why. Okay.
Well, because, you know, how many times has he thrown for 150 yards this year?
I can look that up momentarily.
I can tell you right now, he's done it one time.
Has he?
And they lost that game.
Okay. I'm just looking at San Diego State. There, it seems like they do the worst when quarterbacks can throw. So, yeah. And Keenan Reynolds is not a throwing running back just because of the system, but that 150 yards is quite a bit for Navy. Okay.
Are we also overlooking that this is just a home game?
We talked about that.
Sorry, my computer dropped again for some reason.
I mean, here's what I'll say. You know, if they force Keenan to throw the ball, I think that's something that kind of works in San Diego State's favor, because in the four games that he's gone over 100 yards passing, Navy's 1-3.
Okay, key number two.
Okay.
It's not Donnell Pumphrey who is the complete wild card or the key to a huge San Diego State win. Rather, it is Chase Price, the backup back, right? Because we know that Pumphrey's going to be running. But if you can't stop Chase Price, he's going to give Navy even more problems than Pumphrey.
Yeah, I guess I'd agree with that.
Okay. So, number three. When did this injury happen? I can't remember.
For who? What injury? Keenan Reynolds?
No. Alex Barrett. So Alex Barrett, defensive lineman, San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
Is expected to miss Tuesday night's game. That is going to be somewhat problematic for San Diego State, as in they have one less front seven guy to stop a triple option. Is that going to waver anything at all?
It could, if the backups never played against Air Force or New Mexico or Nevada.
Well, I mean, San Diego State's got that 3-3-5 defense, though, don't they?
Yeah. So sorry.
Yeah, they're still running that. Yeah.
So I think that, you know, losing someone along the defensive line wouldn't hurt as much as, you know, losing someone on the linebacking core like a Josh Gapp or Cody Kalea. But I think the fact that they have both of those guys is going to be, I think that's going to be the key, is those guys are going to have to be all over the field playing sideline to sideline.
Okay. So those are my three main points. Now,
yes.
What do you think the crowd factor will be?
Crowd factor? I think it'll be pretty pedestrian. I mean, you're looking out, it's like, a Tuesday night?
Tuesday night.
Two
days before Christmas. Heavy fans of both teams, but hey, remember, San Diego, people like going to places for Christmas. San Diego's a pretty big destination.
I mean, I don't think it'll be that huge of a difference, because if as you say, you know, both members are going to have presence, then who is it really going to favor? I mean, even looking at the line for this game, I think right now it's Navy plus 2.5, which essentially means that Vegas thinks these teams are even, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's not going to be, because it'll be, there won't be an edge either way. Maybe a little bit for the Aztecs, but home field advantage has never really been their thing, because they can't ever feel Qualcomm regardless, unless you're doing a fireworks show.
Even then, they can't fill it up. The only fireworks that are happening are on the field. I'm sorry.
Boom! Yachts! It's going to be... I'll put it this way. There'll be more passionate San Diego State fans there than there would be for Navy. So if there's a little drive or something, or the Aztecs need to stop, there'll be something more. You'll hear a presence that way more than you would for Navy.
Okay. So that being said,
Who are you taking, right?
Huh?
Who are you taking, right? Is that where we're going next?
Yeah, that's where we're going.
Are we talking about with spread or straight up?
Both.
Both.
Well, either way, I'll take San Diego State minus 2.5.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's right on the spot with this. I think it's actually probably going to be closer to San Diego State winning by 14 points.
I will say this. They're going to win. They should win. They're just so up and down. I think it's going to be closer. It's going to be a single... We got to have a good bowl game. Most of these bowl games so far, even though we're only a handful and haven't been all that great, but I don't see a blowout happening. Just the way Aztecs have played all year. They let teams come back in. Look at North Carolina. If you look at Boise State, they let teams come back. they'll win at most by 10 points. Plus, if Navy can run the ball even with reasonable success, the time of possession favors them keeping the ball away from the Aztecs and less Donald Pumphrey. So I'm thinking it'll be like 30 to 20, right around there at most, maybe 28, 23, something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
That makes sense?
I've got no complaints.
Yes. Next game. I'm going to Hawaii. The Sheridan Hawaii Bowl is Christmas Eve. Fresno taking on Rice. So, Matt, what's your first thoughts on the Rice Owls?
You know what? I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of them this year, aside from their opener against Notre Dame. But, you know, even at the beginning of the season, I was surprised by how competitive they were. I think that the box score is a little bit deceptive because I think that the Irish just kind of wore them down. And, you know, if you recall our Q&A that we did with Adam Rosenfield from Underdog Dynasty, he mentioned that the non-conference schedule especially was pretty taxing because not only did they have to play Notre Dame, they got beaten pretty handily by Texas A&M as well. But, I mean, I see a lot of similarities between these two teams because they kind of beat the teams they were supposed to beat and then lost to the teams they really, you would have thought they would lose to at the beginning of the year. They don't seem particularly exciting. They don't seem particularly explosive, but they stay in games. And, you know, I expect...
Yeah, they get a trip to Hawaii and get a play on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's a credit to, you know, head coach David Bailiff, because this is the first time in school history, which is over 100 years, that Rice has been to 3 bowl games in a row.
Yeah, I've been to plenty of Rice versus Houston games when I was in high school. Those games were just awful. Those teams were terrible, Rice and Houston.
So, I think here's the thing about Rice. Let's just put it this way. We all probably log in our 12 to 15 hours on Saturday for college football, right?
Yep.
Of course.
I feel like I've watched a fair amount of Rice football.
Well, they did play Hawaii.
I feel like I've watched like a fair amount of like every single team this year. Oh my goodness! The two games that define how good Rice can be and how bad Rice can be.
What are those?
I think first of all, the win versus Army, that 41-21 win. Yes, you're playing an Army team that is absolutely horrible, but at the same time, you're just dominating that triple option offense. And Army had no answer. And then the week after, they followed it up with the same 41-21 win over North Texas. But at the same time, though, the last game of the season for them, because they didn't make the championship game, they all of a sudden lose 76. They give up 76 points to Louisiana Tech in the 76-31 game. I think that's a real low for Rice. And so I think one of those things, yeah, Fresno State, who's sitting at, you know, 6-7 right now.
But wait, but they fall in that same category. Look at how many ups and downs Fresno has had this year.
But Fresno State, okay. Here's the thing about Fresno State, and Matt probably should be jumping in more either in defense or not in defense of his.
Or outrage. Outrage.
Outrage. Hot takes.
I'm waiting.
We really saw Fresno State got it together at the end of the year. They had to win 3 games to make at least be close to bowl eligible, and they did it. And they did so. They did so against the San Jose State team, who's a rival any way you look at it. They did so against the Nevada team, who all of a sudden decided to be schizophrenic, but they went to Mackey Stadium and did that and put up a 20-point victory over Nevada. And then they're at home versus Hawaii in a game where they just absolutely dominated and then all of a sudden just gave it all up. And then lose to Boise State, not as bad as you would expect. So yeah, I really think that...
Well, either time as well. Either time. It was reasonable.
Either time, yeah. You know, I think that beginning of the season, 0-3 just god-awful Fresno State team is pretty much gone.
You know what? I'll tell you guys the same thing I told you before. This team hasn't put together a complete game except maybe once all season long. Like, either the offense has been there and the defense hasn't, or the defense has been there and the offense hasn't. You know, the special teams have been pretty suspect all season long. So, you know, you seem to like my team a lot more than I do, and I don't understand why.
That's how it normally goes. You're more hard on the team or pessimistic or than other people are usually.
I understand your pain.
I mean, Brian Burrell, I mean, I don't think I need to say any more about how I feel about him. He didn't
play. Let's not, because I was sticking up for Brian Burrell, and I apologize for that.
No, I mean, he didn't play well in the championship game. Let's just call it like it is. And, you know, to say that he's going to play well against a Rice defense that actually led Conference USA in sacks, you know, you're talking about you know, three or four guys who on that line, like Brian Nordstrom and Zach Pat, who I think both had at least 8 sacks apiece. I mean, the Bulldogs finished near the bottom of the conference in sacks allowed, so, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if these guys get after him and, you know, force him to have happy feet, force him to overthrow, sail passes, force a couple turnovers. And it wouldn't surprise me if this game got away from Fresno State early.
So let's talk about this this bowl game itself, the Hawaii Bowl.
Okay.
This is not the WAC/Mountain West's bowl game at all.
It's Hawaii's bowl game.
It's not even Hawaii's bowl game. In the 2, 4, 6, I think in the 12 seasons that the Hawaii Bowl has existed. Remember, this is the Hawaii Bowl, not the Aloha Bowl. 2 separate bowl games.
Right? The Oahu Bowl. There's a dot two. Can't forget that.
I'm sorry, the Oahu Bowl. Whatever.
Well, I mean, there's two bowl games in Hawaii at one point.
Yeah. So in the 12 seasons that the Hawaii Bowl has existed...
Sorry to derail everything. Go ahead.
Sorry. In the 12 seasons that the Hawaii Bowl has existed, the WAC/Mountain West is 4-8 in those bowl games. The current Mountain West lineup has never won a bowl game.
That doesn't surprise me. I was there 2 years ago, and they got blown out by SMU.
And then Boise last year versus Oregon State.
And yet, in this 70,000, 60,000 seat stadium, they actually average a fairly good attendance. Last year was kind of weak just because 29,106, and both these Oregon State, Boise State, I think both those teams just didn't want to be there, Boise State specifically. But this game usually averages in about the mid-30s, in the mid-30,000s. But this game is just so interesting just because you do have Fresno State, who is, and they've, I say they've rebounded, Matt's skeptical, and who knows what Jeremy's saying.
Well, I don't know, because the last game versus La Tech is just terrible. They get beat very bad. Here's the thing, Rice doesn't seem to do anything particularly well. They're below the half in passing yards per game. They're about in the middle of the pack of rushing yards per game. They're about middle of the pack in points for per game. They're just like, they're what the record is. They're 7-5. They're just an okay team. Their running game is something where I think if Fresno can stop, which we'll see, that's an area where Rice is not that great. I think it stopped that and make Rice throw, which is their strength with when they have a Dreyfus Jackson throwing the ball. He seemed to be their best player, but again, he has 8 interceptions. He's been sacked 25 times. He's completing 50. He's like Brian Burrell's twin, completes 57% of his passes.
No, but see, here's the thing, though. Burrell's turned the ball over twice as often as Dreyfus Jackson has.
Okay.
Jackson only has...
Okay, they're not exactly Burrell. Twins. They're siblings.
Maybe Burrell is like his evil twin.
There you go. It's just something where they don't... That's... Looking at what Rice does, throwing the ball is probably their best thing, and that's just an okay. They're 8 yards an attempt, which is pretty good, but they don't do anything particularly well. And here's what I think. Fresno State, the one thing they can do well is get the ball to run the ball. Martez Waller and Josh Quezada, that's probably going to be the difference. Get those two guys the ball, especially Waller, and they should win this game. If they give him the ball 20 or so times, give him 120 yards, they'll win. That's the only – out of all the – yeah, you got Jerron Smith back there as well. He could make some plays. But the one player that – the one really good player on this team that can control more than he doesn't, because being a defensive back, you can't control as much as you'd like to. But Quezada and Waller, that's the one area where Fresno can make the difference. And those are the two best players on the field, in my opinion. And if you get Waller the ball, they're going to win. If he gets over 100 yards, that's basically what it comes down to, I think.
Well, I mean, going back to your point about, Fresno trying to stop Rice's running attack, the one thing that I'll point out is that they have shown the ability to make adjustments at halftime to stop the run. I mean, you saw that especially in games like the New Mexico game. They shut down Jarrell Presley after halftime, and I believe they did it in the Nevada game where they completely shut him down. And there's a huge difference if you look at their split stats. They've faced just about the same amount of attempts in the first and second half, but, in the first half they're allowing 5.3 yards per carry, and after the halftime it's an even 4 yards per carry. So it's really going to be crucial that they have some success early, forcing Jackson into kind of like second and long and third and long situations. But even if they do, like you said, throwing the ball might be the best thing that they do, because Rice actually has two receivers who have averaged at least 16 yards per catch. And so I think if there's a key matchup in this game, it's going to be Jordan Taylor and Mario Hull, those two Owls receivers, against, Malcolm Washington and Charles Washington. I think whoever wins those matchups is going to go a long way toward deciding the game.
So is that the big thing, if they can stop that Rice receiving attack?
Yeah, I mean, especially since, that's been kind of the big difference on this defense in the last month, is that they were shuffling through the defensive backs trying to find a unit that works. And, moving and putting the Washingtons in the starting lineup has really kind of paid dividends.
Gotcha. So let's talk about the bowl game itself. So we have Alan Bestwick and Rod Gilmore are announcing, and Holly Rose, the sideline reporter in this game.
Rod Gilmore? Jeez.
Rod Gilmore. And my question is, why is not Robert Kikaiola announcing this game?
That's a good point. It's not on ESPN3?
No.
I mean, that's why. That's what I mean. That's why.
Well, I mean, even if it was on ESPN3, it still wouldn't. I mean, they broadcast through the Mountain West Network, remember?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I would love to have – I'd like to hear him broadcast a non-Hawaii football game.
Totally going to sign them up to announce a game with us next year, right? Just like randomly?
Of course. I don't know. That would be fun to see, because he's an energetic guy. We can listen to the radio with I should know the guy's name because they have me on their show every now and then. I was blanking. He does a pretty good job. You can listen to the radio broadcast, but I doubt they're doing a local broadcast because it's on ESPN Radio nationally, I think. So no local flavor unless you want to hear the PA guy turn up your TV really loud to see who's there. I don't know what to tell you.
Also, this game actually does not have a bowl sponsor this year. It used to be the Sheraton Hawaii Bowl for 11 of the 12 years.
Did stop saying Sheraton.
Oh, that's sad.
Sheraton declined to renew the sponsorship this year.
That's sad.
So it's just the Hawaii Bowl.
Not even the state tourism of Hawaii? They're not going to sponsor?
No, and we don't, and we can't have Dog the Bounty Hunter Bowl.
No, definitely no. That's unfortunate. It's just are they the only bowl? I assume they might be the only bowl without an actual sponsor, because the Fight Hunger Bowl is now the Butterball Bowl, or what is it?
Foster Farms.
Close enough. Foster Farms Bowl.
No, Boca Raton does not have an official sponsor. You could make the argument that the famous Idaho Potato Bowl is not a real sponsor, but rather more of just an encompassing of bowl games.
Hey, you know what? I saw enough famous Idaho Potato commercials to object. They had the sideline reporter who was doing the sideline, you know, the same woman who was doing the sideline reporting, was doing commercials for the famous Idaho potatoes. So you tell me what that means.
Fine.
Did you know that there are over 900 recipes on famousidahopotatoes.com?
This does not surprise me. The belt bowl. So, yeah. But yes, Hawaii Bowl, unsponsored. On Christmas Eve, so that means nobody's going to be watching it, right? Because we're all supposedly with our families, right?
I will be watching it.
Fine. You'll be watching it because you're a Fresno State fan. Die hard. Who's skeptical about his team. Yes, so let's go ahead and talk about that, though, right? So what do we think is going to happen, right? Since you're the homer guy here?
So are we going to predictions or just what I think is going to happen?
Both.
Rolled into one. Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think... You know what? I think one receiver from both teams is going to have a big game. I think Josh Harper... I think they're going to try and get him the ball early and often.
Oh, I forgot he's on their team. For how often he doesn't get the ball.
I think one of the two guys on the Owls is also probably going to have a pretty big game. I think that, gosh, it's hard to say. I think someone's going to have a really big sack, too. I just don't know which team it's going to be. I think there's going to be some kind of turnover at some point that's going to be really critical, like kind of midway through the game, you know what I mean? But I don't know if it's going to be someone like...
This is so specific right now. It's going to be fantastic.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to be like someone like Donovan Lewis or like Brian Nordstrom, but I think one of those two guys is probably going to have himself a big game.
Well, wait, go one step further and predict a scoop and score fat boy touchdown. Come on.
No, I don't know if I'm that bold. Here's what I'll say. Okay, here's my specific prediction.
The bowl game, these are lukewarm predictions.
No. This is my stupid upset prediction of the week, okay? Brian Burrell throws 3 interceptions.
Wait, that's not stupid. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
No, it's understandable. I mean, I think that the Bulldogs will probably rack up yards, but I think it wouldn't surprise me if they shot themselves in the foot a couple times.
So then who's going to win?
I think Rex is going to win. You know, looking at the spread, Fresno State's getting 2.5 right now. But just like I did with San Diego State, I will take the hit, and I will go Rice -2.5 because I think that... You know, they may not be spectacular, but I think, again, that they'll probably keep them at arm's length. It'll probably be like a 10-point victory. And just so you guys know, that, you know, Rice against the spread, 7-2 in their last 9 games.
I'm assuming one of those was not the Louisiana Tech game, one of those wins.
That might have been one of the two.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But I will take Rice -2.5. I will say... I don't know, 27-17.
All right, Chris, what do you got?
It really kind of makes me sad that you're so dumb. Like, Matt, as a Fresno State fan, is exactly like me as a Chargers. Like, just almost depressing.
it's not a good team. What do you want me to say? I can't sugarcoat it.
Neither is Rice.
But no, see, here's the thing. Like, if I try to sugarcoat it and be a cheerleader for the team, you know people are going to be like, oh, you're such a Fresno State homer. And then I'll have to say...
Oh, okay, yes. And then I'll have to say to the Conference USA people who actually listen to this podcast.
Thank you.
What about
them? 2 of them.
Well, then they should be very happy and they should give us 5 stars.
Right, okay. So that's now we know where the 5 stars are coming from. God, okay, fine. You know, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to say that this is going to be, What's even the over-under for this game?
Not much.
I know so little.
59.5.
59.5? Okay, I think they're going to beat the 59.5. I think I'm going to take the over on that. I'm going to say Fresno State beats the spread.
Oh, no.
Wins by 1 point. It's going to be something like 35-34.
I'm going crazy. This is my stupid upset pick. I'm going Fresno for the blowout victory.
Wow.
What?
Yes.
Okay. Wait. But you have to explain.
Where is this coming from? Seriously. No. Give me an explanation for this one.
Probably before I cut out one of the many times. I like Maurtice Waller and what he can do. He can run the ball pretty well.
Yeah, but see, that's the coaches. The coaches need to have the mental capacity to give him the ball all the time.
So should I text Coach Dave Schramm there to run the ball a bit more?
Yes.
No, it's not just me joking. I think they, because here's the thing, Fresno, yeah, they're 6-7. They've had their issues. Burrell has, even though we can agree or kind of we're lukewarm on this, Burrell has been playing better as a quarterback of late. Nothing spectacular, but he's been improving.
Actually going to go back on what I said a few weeks ago. Him improving. He did not show improvement in that point he's taking.
No, not that game, but if you go back to San Jose State, Nevada, he's improved. Hawaii, not that great, but he's thrown a lot of interceptions. That's an issue. I just think here's the way a big win could happen. When I mean big win, I'm talking just double digits. So 10 points, that's a big win. I'm going something like those, probably 2 touchdowns. But if Burrell can limit his turnovers, which I think he can, and get the ball to Harper, that has to be key. But the main thing is getting Waller, the running game, going and going on full force. Then that has to open up Josh Harper. And we've seen when they throw him the ball every recently, he's been doing quite well. You see him. I think he had a touch. Didn't he have a touchdown versus Boise State? A pretty good reception or a couple. One of those diving plays he's known to make. I might be wrong at that. But didn't he have one of those against Boise?
Yes.
So I'm thinking if they can run the ball well, that'll open that up. And then they'll just kind of take care of themselves. But Burrell can't have like 4 interceptions. If he has 1, that's fine, which I expect. But I think they're going to win by about 2 touchdowns by running the ball a lot, and then you'll see just enough of Harper. Burrell might go 13 for 20 for like 185. That'd be perfectly fine. But I think if the running game is how they're going to get this win, and I think they can do it with those two guys. It is a dumb pick to say they'll win by almost 2 touchdowns, but that's where I'm going with.
Well, this is where I'm saying that it's a dumb pick, okay?
You can say it's a dumb pick. I'm okay.
Well, the fact that I'm saying it's a dumb pick, it's, you know. Here's the thing. You're basically banking on a Fresno State team to all of a sudden switch their offense to more of a 50-50 balance. This is since Burrell has basically become the, like, lone starter, I guess. Is that what you could call it?
Sure.
He has basically gone out 44. He's thrown the ball against San Jose State 26 times, against Nevada 46 times, against Hawaii 32 times, against Boise State he threw 45 times. You're basically saying cut that number down to the mid-20s like it was in the San Jose State game and give Waller and Quezada, because Quezada actually looked good against Boise State, give them, you know, between the two of them, about 40 carries.
Yeah, true. Burrell, he had the yardage versus Boise State and 30, 45, but if you look, the more he throws, the more something's going to happen. And typically, when you throw the ball, bad things can happen.
The more he's going to turn the ball over.
Yeah, that's why you want him to go, 20-26 for San Jose State. Run the ball 45 times. Give it to Waller, 28. Give it to Quezada, almost 15-20. Do that. Less bad things are going to happen running the ball with those guys. They need to go back. They don't need to throw the ball 50 times to win against Rice.
Well, I mean, he's averaging, I think 32 attempts in the last 5 games. He has 9 interceptions in the last 5 games.
Yeah.
That's a if my math is correct, that's a 5.5% interception percentage, and that's not going to get it done.
Yeah, because here's his attempts, his going reverse chronological order. 45 versus Boise, 32 versus Hawaii, 46 versus Nevada, 26 San Jose State, 13 versus Wyoming. And then 25 the first time they played Boise State, where they lost by only 10 points.
You guys seem to have a lot more trust that he won't do something dumb than I will.
Well, I just, that's what I mean. That's why I want him to throw less. Only throw 20 to 25 times max.
If he only throws it 25 times, I'm going to be shocked.
I would be too, but they should.
I don't think they will, though. That's the thing.
But don't you think they should? I know they probably won't, but wouldn't you think that gives them more success throwing less and running the ball more?
Well, yeah. I mean, look at what they did. I think it was against, what, San Jose State, that they gave the ball to Waller like 25 times in the first half before he got hurt?
Let's see real quick. I know he threw – Burrell was 20 of 26.
I believe that was the game because Cazada came in the second half, and he also had 100 yards.
Yeah, that. Yeah, they 46 total carries between the two, 22 for Waller, 24 for Cazada, and Waller had 145 and a touchdown.
So, I mean, it can be done. I don't trust Schramm enough to do the obvious thing.
Well, he's also a former wide receivers coach who wants to sling the ball around.
Yeah, and I mean, also consider that Rice actually has a pretty good run defense, which I think is, as far as yards per game are concerned, is third in Conference USA.
All right, so, well, that's good, excellent. No, I just try, I maybe my pick is super dumb, but I just think if they want to win, they should go by that route. So Matt says they're going to win, lose. Chris, you said
Fresno in a close one? I said they're going to win by one.
Close one.
But I'm taking over on the points.
I take over because the weird thing, too, we've seen these last couple Hawaii games, SMU blowout, Oregon State pretty easily handled Boise last year as those turnovers and a quick touchdown, which kind of made a difference. But I'm going over as well. It could be like, I think Fresno might get to 35 points, like win 35-25 or something.
I'm just going to point out that Fresno State is 0-5, both straight up and against the spread in their last five trips to a bowl game.
Interesting.
So you guys are in the danger zone right now.
Danger zone!
I like to live on the edge. All right, do we have anything else to add about these bowl games? Poinsettia Bowl, Hawaii Bowl, Christmas time is a couple days away.
No, I think I'm good.
Yeah, if you were expecting us to Christmas carol on the podcast, you're sorely mistaken.
Oh, dang it. Okay. Well, that wraps up for tonight. Thank you for listening to our third bowl preview of the season. We'll have another one for the Fiesta Bowl down the road. But check us out, mwcconnection.com. Check our bowl stream. Check everybody on Twitter, Greek Padre. Was it Matt? Wait, what's your Twitter, Matt? I forget.
It was MattK_FS.
Okay, I was close. I was going to say something else. But MattK_FS. Check that out. Again, leave us a rating, Blog Talk, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. Some new way you can find the show, let us know. Listen to it that way. But thanks for listening to the show. And like we always say, we didn't end our last show like this. But remember, we're biased against every team. Right, guys?
Yes, we are. Including right. Our...
Did we drop out right as he said?
Ah! No, I'm here. Am I still here? I'm still here. I see my thing going up and down. No, we're over. Oh, jeez. I'm not going to edit that out because I dropped so many times. But we'll check everybody next time. See you, folks.